We are talking with Chris from Las Vegas. This is In Defense of Humanity on our second hour. And tonight we're talking about our legal system. And we've been listening to former bar attorney, Harmon Taylor. Chris, what else did you have to say about him?
Well, he's a very astute observer. You can tell he has a true heart that's truly trying to bring the truth to the people from his due diligent study and the unfortunate truth that he learned he was deceived by the system, the cancer of Mu, that he had fallen under the deceit of, believing fully in the foundational precepts that it was absolutely a fully functional, lawful system that paid heed to ethics, morals, and scruples when there really is no foundation for this false hypothesis that he fell under the Svengali-like spell of.
When I think of the parable of the blind Indians and the elephant, I see most of
that.
Huh?
I love that parable.
It's a great parable, but I see most attorneys as looking at the elephant's head and nothing else. And they've spent their whole career studying the elephant's head. And they don't realize that it's not the whole picture.
Well, I have unfortuitously, through an extensive amount of many years of due diligence study, have come to a conclusion that you might agree with, I think Harmon might agree with, but most attorneys would never admit to or even acknowledge. And that is that the law itself, if we're talking about true law, is a full body of law that applies across the board. You can pull law from environmental law and use it in criminal law. You can pull criminal law and use it in health law, or all these different things interoperate throughout the system. It is a system for factually. But it's a system you can't see. It's concept, an ideal, a metaphor.
And it goes into medicine, and I tried to tell people that medicine, remember, we are healthcare consumers. So they have moved it into medicine now, and if you go into any medical facility, that's been my experience in this last, 10 months, I've had a lot of experience with the medical system. You can't even make a call, get a question answered without two things. First, they want your name, and then they want your birth date. They will not talk to you without that date, okay? That didn't used to be that way, but it is that way now. And when he said, when they combine your name and all the information, all the letters we get from the medical profession, our names are in all caps. Every single communication, our names are in all caps. Every single communication has our birth date. So he is absolutely right. When they put your name in all caps and then they add an identifying number, you bet your bippy you're in commerce.
Well, you're absolutely correct. Even more criminal than that, I think, is the deception of the words that we use. Words like the word medicine, me die sin. We are killed by the sin of ourselves because we believe in these black-robed or black-cloaked so-called doctors practicing doctor rage where they are really deceiving us that they know everything, but they are only limited what the pharmacist or the pharmaceutical people teach them. And usually they have their own self-interest. They're perpetuating, telling their things will cure all these things, which really what they do is perpetually treat you and keep a flow of revenue stream coming into their companies.
Well, you know, also, I see these doctors as the blind Indian men. And our bodies, we're like the elephants, and they can only see this and they can only see that, you know, and they can't hear us at all.
Well, they call that compartmentalization.
Oh,
you mentioned the word registrate earlier related to land. And when we understand it's a reverse word term, and it really means stratified in the name of the corporate regis, the corporate state. And unfortunately, attorneys and states and banks and different entities that all practice this legal sleaze, this word art trickery, war by word arts actually is more accurately, because the legal system is a war system. That's what commerce means, of, from, by, through, mercenary activities, merchants haunted by mercenaries. This war system, when we understand the bar is really a military operation, that all the agents of the bar are members of this warring force. In fact, there's a concept, if one has the due diligence and the motivation to do so, look into Black's Law somewhere between 5th and 7th editions, and you'll find the term jus, J-U-S, meaning the law, fecialis, and it's spelled two different ways, F-E-T-I-A-L-E-S and F-E-C-I-A-L-E-S, and some might note that it has a very close sound or pronunciation to feces. And that's because it's a secret, silent war to absolute destruction of anyone they can ensnare into their war court schemes to plunder, pillage, rob, and find out by probate. And of course, they spell it B-A-T-E to confuse us, but it's really, it's pro is for, and you are the bait, B-I-I-T, so they can see what you've got that they can access and take to put under their scope and sphere of control and plunder themselves.
Well, and they've already done a pretty darn good job, but the thing that is the reason why I do this show is that on every time I've been plundered, and many times...
Are you bragging or complaining?
I've been plundered. Somebody could whip out a document and they could show me that I signed for it. And that is really where I'm trying to... You and I talked about this. I'm trying to stay on the bottom rung of this thing and get people to understand you're signing up because you're being deceived for your own plunder. And this is the way they look at it. But you agreed, they say. But you signed. Did you sign that? And he talks about the importance of the signature. And not enough people
absolutely.
Talking about that.
You're giving your consent. Remember, Edwin Bernays tells us in his treatise, Propaganda, that any time that they can convince us that it's for our benefit and obtain our consent is their victory over us. And that's why they always want you to sign. I've heard it said that when you sign your name, you're putting an evil spell on yourself, as opposed to an autograph or a scripting of your own, or a mark, as you might call it. That if you put anytime somebody wants your signature, it's because they want something else. It's not they're looking for your autograph because you're a star. It's because they want something out of you. They want your consent. And when you sign, you're giving your consent, unless you preserve your rights.
Right.
And also, your point of doing a condition precedent, having a document prepared to append or launch to any type of contractual relationship you enter into, like I've done recently following your counsel, when I put a condition precedent, when I registered my automobile in Arizona to get it out of this thieving rogue state, Nevada.
Yeah.
And the condition precedent pointed out that I was not under no deception and certainly had no conscience intent to donate, contribute, or gift my private property to the corporate state for them to monetize, securitize, and rent back to me and force me into the contractual licensure and insurance scheme.
Yeah, well, the whole concept, and I do talk about this with my husband, And I tried to explain to him, how many of these agreements have a condition precedent? I said, if you are doing a power of attorney for someone, the preceding mm-hmm. condition before you sign it has already been established that you have the power of attorney. That is considered a condition precedent. People need to understand that, that this is commonly used in their system to have a condition precedent, and it all is required is that it be properly noticed. You have to use proper legal notice to establish one. I'm amazed that more people don't do it, because I didn't have any trouble establishing my condition precedent as a living woman. I thought that was, you know, I want that on the record. I am not a legal fiction. I am alive.
Excellent idea. In fact, yeah. When we check into the Haas Spittle to get their version of care and their version right. of treatment
right.
for their benefit, not for ours. This is such a bizarre thing. I have read their books much. And I want to qualify something. Ralph Winterberry does not rely entirely on Westlaw, although he does use it extensively, because he can Boolean word search and find out cases that look for the points of law he's wanting to make and support with quite a lot of frequency. And for that, I don't necessarily fault him, but he also supports his research from Westlaw with actual old historic documented text of original writings, much like I study myself. I don't have access to Westlaw, but I do.
The problem is that you can't quote case law prior to 1938. Okay, the whole system was turned upside down with the New Deal. Everything changed, and the courts changed. So anytime we go back to an older Supreme Court case, they don't recognize them. This whole system was changed with FDR bringing in funny money. And Ronald McDonald wrote a book, in case I haven't mentioned it, people. If you're an RBN listener, you know Ronald McDonald is a guest on John Stapmiller's National Intel Report on Mondays. And he wrote a book called They Own It All. He and Robert Rowan did a lot of research on what happened in 1933. And I don't believe that a lot of these researchers, these legal researchers, have read that book and are completely aware and understand how everything went upside down in 1933.
Well, and that Emergency Banking Act, where they stole the gold from America and put us under their funny money usurist debt system, odious debt as it's called, to rip money from the global banking cabals, the
right.
buddies of FDR,
right.
it changed the scope of things here in America and put us into this usurious debt scheme where we're trading on these notes, and I think that they're playing the devil's tune as the type of notes they're playing.
And not only that, the Social Security Act was brought in by FDR, and that, incidentally, they actually fought. There was a constitutional challenge to the Social Security Act, and believe it or not, Roosevelt, and you can read about this, Roosevelt got the Supreme Court stacked. He managed to get enough of his own people on the Supreme Court that in 1937, the Supreme Court found the Social Security Act to be constitutional, which is insane. For everyone to register was necessary for the Federal Reserve to establish a taxation system that covered the entire country.
Well, and that was the big ruse to confuse that they threw over the American people. They advertised it as a insurance plan to insure us for old age when we might not be able to earn income, so we would have a dependable income to live off. However, you're exactly right. It was never any such thing. That was a false premise.
Right.
It was actually a FISA tax. And it was a tax disguised as an insurance plan. But really, it really was a government property slave tracking number assignment scheme.
Exactly.
So they could track their slaves.
Yep.
In fact, the word term resident, it means race and law is the thing identified, ID, as a corporate fictitious entity. And that's yes. what that all Capitus Maximus, the corporate trade nom de guerre, named for war, where they commit war against us without our knowledge, and their war courts. Remember, courts were established to replace armed combat on the field of battle with a war of wits and paper. Remember, the pro se cutter, that we call a prosecutor in the court, is one of the warriors in the courtroom who wields his paper and wits against us, along with the so-called defender, the judge, the secretary, the keeper of the judge's secret, the clerk of the court, the marshal. Everybody in the court is getting paid except for the litigators that go in there, maybe you, and if you're going against the state, you're the only person there not getting paid.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Well, those are good comments. We have another caller. Is there anything else you want to add, Chris?
Well, I will tell you that there is nothing in the realm of reality attached to the so-called legal privilege. There is no privilege communications. There is no ethics, morals, or scruples. They are all discretionary, and they have a higher duty to expose any scandalous, embarrassing, dangerous, or predatorily legal advantage information to the court above their obligation to you, the mere money-playing client, because they owe you nothing, and any monies you tender to the court or to an attorney in the form of a down payment, a retainer, or a contract for future services by them is considered to be a contribution, gift, or donation, and there is no expectation of obligation performance implied or extended whatsoever because you were naive enough to trust the attorney. God bless America. Thank you, Al.
Okay. Yeah, and the other thing I have to say about case law, and, you know, you can look up, there's a wonderful book called The Fraternity that was written by a judge exposing this case law scam. Really, it's a scam. But I had a personal conversation with Dr. Rebecca Carley when she was in court fighting for her, I think she was fighting for custody of her child, and she went back into chambers. The judge called her back into chambers, and he told her, he said, I don't care what case you come up with. He said, we have so many cases, we can cite a case to counter anything you'll cite. So
that is judicial discretion.
Exactly. So let's say we find a wonderful case and we hang our hat on that. These guys, only they send their law clerks out to find another judgment that will supersede it. I mean, they've got a whole clerk. They've got all kinds of employees who can scour the records and Westlaw and find a case that they can cite that will nullify the one you've cited. So chasing case law, I'm sorry, I just don't see it. Now, maybe Ralph has had experience, positive wins with it. I think it's best not to be in their courtrooms if you can avoid them.
The word term attorney does mean twister of words. God bless you, Al. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Oh, okay, we have another caller. Is Rodney from Illinois still on the line, Sam?
Yeah, I'm still here, Al.
Oh, hi, Rodney.
Hey, really enjoyed your show. I certainly look forward to following up on Mr. Taylor's work. I have a question, but I think in part I can answer it by explaining something called identity abuse. Now, sometime back, just within the last couple years, there was a headline about a 19-year-old young woman who was accusing her parents of identity abuse. And, you know, the mainstream media was certainly on her side. Now, she was brought forth in her household, in her parents' household, via a home birth. She did not have a birth certificate. Her parents did not, solicit the pediatrician for vaccines. Therefore, she had no medical records. Her parents did not apply on her behalf for a social security number, so she did not have that. She was not encouraged to go out and get a driver's license. She did not have that. Well, she finds herself 19 years old, and somewhat belated, she becomes rebellious and finds out it's very difficult for me to be like my peers because I don't have an identity. Now, you and I and many in this audience might find her position quite enviable because, you know, many of us have tried to find that that utopian existence after the fact. But my question is, if one finds oneself confronted by a corporation, let's call it, you know, a judicial district, you know, XYZ in whatever county, and we recognize, we understand they're a corporation, and I've heard it said that a corporation cannot talk to, cannot have relations with a live human being. My question is, how do we prove, and is there a simple answer to how, you know, representing yourself as a real person, and, you know, as, you know, one would hold up a silver cross to, you know, Dracula, make them cower and admit, no, I cannot. You know, I've heard it said, you know, they'll send a bailiff down to the clerk's office and find out if you've got a voter registration. Well, you know, okay. So, do you understand my question in here? How, you know, without completely reverting back to the position that this 19-year-old girl found herself, is there a way besides that? I mean, do we have to rescind every signature, cancel every contract, void every agreement in order to find ourselves in a position where we can tell this corporation, go pound sand, you and I cannot talk?
Yes, there is a way. And I've talked about it. I don't know. Do we have to go to break, Sam, or do I have time? Sam sometimes does other things. He doesn't always hear me. Okay, I'm going to read this to you because, yes, there is a way, and it's important. We've talked about it, and I want everybody to understand it. Okay, I'd like to remind everyone and those who are new like yourself, in our entire government is a franchise network of corporations engaged in commerce, and all their laws and regulations are commercial and contractual in nature. Under the authority of the state of emergency, the law of contracts, also known as the Uniform Commercial Code, was adopted in every state today. It is practiced in every courtroom across America, thanks to the American Bar Association. The Uniform Commercial Code contains a nasty rule called a presumption, and you can look that up. That's UCC 1-206, whereby it is presumed that you understand and consent to all the terms and conditions of any contract or agreement you sign either with private parties like hospitals, car dealerships, and banks, or with the government entities like Social Security and the U.S. military. This presumption of informed consent is applied even when the terms and conditions are vague or admittedly not revealed in the contract. All our laws, also known as statutes and regulations, are written for corporate persons, not for living flesh and blood men and women. To understand how to protect yourself from this legal deception, go to anticorruptionsociety.com and click on the Notice of Condition Preceding tab at the top of the page. That's how you do it, because the Notice of Condition Preceding, and I can read it to you, it's short. It, once it's cured, it becomes an amendment to all the contracts you've signed. Okay, let me get a copy here.
Yeah, I've been to your website. I've read that recently, and
so then you notice that it amends. It can amend the documents you signed with Social Security. It can amend the birth certificate. What we're doing is we're amending these contracts, and we're declaring our political and legal status. We're defining our political and legal status. And what gives us the authority to do that? The president of the corporation, Bill Clinton, gave it to us in 1999 when he brought in federalism. So in their world, we have the right to make that definition. And the only way in their system we can do it is to do it on the record. And that's why we have that notice condition precedent that you can refer to anytime in the future should they try to inflict something upon you. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thanks, Al. And on a philosophical note, while I've been listening to your show, it occurred to me, the law of the land is based on a reverence and acknowledgement of a creator who is our supreme being, the one and true only sovereign. That sovereign allows us to repent. That means when we find ourselves having committed an infraction, contrary to what is right, he allows us to repent. And by parable, by his own parable, he will allow us to repent 70 times seven times. Since he encourages us to forgive our brother who repents, certainly he will do at least that much. But the legal system is quite different. Once an infraction, they think like they own your soul.
Well, unfortunately, they think we gave it to them.
Yeah.
You signed it. Is this your signature?
Yeah, but you can politely say, "But I have repented."
Or what they do allow for a mistake, incidentally. And in UCC, that's acceptable in mistake, is acceptable for nullifying some agreement. But also, everybody needs to understand, never leave a naked signature. Always sign without prejudice above your name. Always, 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 always. That opens the door for you to bring in your notice of condition precedent and demonstrate that this does not apply to you. Because I guarantee you, when you're going into a hospital and you are sick as a dog, okay, you're not going to sit there and argue legal beagles with these people. They don't understand squat. So you better be ready to sign your name above your name without prejudice, right?
Yeah.
Protect yourself.
Now, this gentleman who was Mr. Bagneri's guest, this Harmon Taylor,
yes.
What sort of exposure does he have on the internet? Does he have a website? Does he have articles?
Where can I find more
from him?
Okay. What I'm going to do tonight, I had one time I knew what his website is, and I don't remember now, but I do have the links to the two interviews he gave. Each was an hour long, and this was in 2013, and it's on YouTube, so I'm going to put those links up. And in there, he will describe more of himself and how you can get a hold of him, et cetera, and how you can get his book. So I will put those two up on our IDH program links page on my website. If you're not familiar with it, there's a little tab that says IDH program links, okay? And that means in defense of humanity. And after the show, I try to put the links up on that one page that pertain to that show. So I will do that. That'll give you a head start.
Thanks a lot.
And thank you for calling in. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Of Humanity. I'm Al Whitney. We're in the last stretch of the program tonight, and we have some callers. John from Texas, are you there?
Hi, Al.
Hi.
I got two. They're easy questions, and this was back in August when I was listening to your program about the notice of condition precedent. Uh-huh. And I took you up on your offer, and I want to tell you a short story. I went to the driver's license, and I lost my wallet, went to the driver's license office, and I told them I lost my license, and then they had a form there. And the first question was, are you a citizen of the United States? And I had my notice of condition proceeding with me. So I said no, and I thought she was almost finished. And then she said, can you read me the first question? And so I did. She said, so you're telling me you're not a citizen of the United States, but you were born in Pennsylvania? So I gave her the notice of condition proceeding. And then she said, please have a seat over here. You're going to be a while. So I figured, oh, no, they're going to take me away. So yeah, I'm sitting there, and then she comes out, and I said, how did it go? And she said, they put it in your file. My question on that little story is, because I heard the other gentleman you have on there, I'm sorry, I didn't remember his name, but he said something about the driver's license, and I know you've talked about it yourself. Like the judge will be in the courtroom and he'll say, "Do you have a driver's license?" "Oh yeah." "Okay, yep, you're in my jurisdiction." I'm wondering, can I play that? Have that ever happened? I know it's not good to play in their game, in their turf, but could I mention that I'm not a United States citizen? And well, it's my driver's license file.
Okay, if you haven't read Lawfully Yours, that's the next place for you to go, because in Lawfully
Yours. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
I'll read it again.
Read it again and try, you know, when you get an invitation to appear in court, remember these are administrative courts, they're commercial courts, they're private corporations, okay? They're not a legitimate government. So it's up to us whether or not we want to contract or participate in the procedures. But we only have 3 days to notice them and to tell them, no, thank you, I'm not interested in contracting with this private. It's private law. That Ralph Winterrod got very, very clear. It's private law, absolutely. Therefore, if you do not wish to contract in that private law court, you must notify them. And the way of doing that is in Lawfully Yours. And putting a copy of your notice of condition precedent in that communication as you send it is absolutely ideal. Because now you're saying, I'm not contracting. And then you're also saying, and I'm not a U.S. citizen, and I'm choosing to be I'm defining my legal self as a living man.
That's awesome. I have another question, real quick. Say I go into the hospital, one of your favorite places, and this happened to me in the past, and I told them, I said, well, I don't want to sign that, and they said, well, if you're not going to sign it, you're not coming back here. This happened like 10 plus years ago. So anyway, suppose I go into a hospital and they give me the form right before surgery, whatever, and they say, you need to sign this, and I sign it and write without prejudice, and then they come back and they say no. What do I do?
Well, they could say no, because we ran into this myself, our family did. And the reason they can say no is the people who get the signatures are pretty stupid. Intentionally, they don't educate them, okay? So it would be a little bump and grind, but you have to stand strong and say, I'm sorry, but you're obligated to accept that. That's part of Uniform Commercial Code, and this hospital has functions under that code as well. This is the legal system the hospital functions under, so you don't have an option. You have to be very...
Are you able to get... Were you able to get by it?
Oh, yeah. But it takes awesome. the little person who's you're talking to has been given instructions by someone who doesn't understand it, who got instructions for someone who doesn't understand it. So it throws them, you know. That's why you have to be gentle with them. But if they have to wait to take it up to legal, legal will understand it, okay? And if they're going to choose to deny you care... That's what they're going to say. They're going to deny you care. That's when you pull out your little card and you say, so you're denying me care because I'm exercising my right to restrict my signature. I need your name. I've got the date. I need your title. In other words, that kind of denial of care for you exercising your absolute right to restrict your signature has to be noted, and they have to remember that that's what their choice is. They're choosing this. So it may be a little bit of a battle, but I think it's a battle we can win. We just have to be friendly and firm.
Thanks a lot, Alan. Tell your partner there, you're the person you're interviewing. Appreciate his sharing with everybody. What's his name?
Harmon Taylor. And I will, if you go to my website, I will put up links to the two interviews he did with Michael Bednarik in 2013, you're going to find them both really informative. They're very interesting, and he's a pleasant sort of a fellow, don't you think?
Harmon?
Yes, Harmon, H-A-R-M-O-N, Harmon Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R.
tell Harmon thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for calling
in. Thanks a lot, Al.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay. We have another caller, Mike from Kentucky. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. They finally punched the button there for a minute. I couldn't hear you. Jack Kevorkian, I'm thinking it must have been, I don't know, around 1996 or something. I was starting to pay attention. I started listening in and going to law libraries and, you know, looking up stuff that I heard on absurd talk radio, like For the People with Chuck Harder and shortwave radio, you know. In fact, I called in on one of the shows that CNN featured when the Freeman standoff was going on, and I had called in right before they did on a shortwave show out of Las Vegas. I can't remember. There was a lawyer named Mike, and that same show I'm on there calling in on that show. They were talking about a lot of this sort of stuff, but Jack Kevorkian was doing a physician-assisted suicide, and I forget if it was in Minnesota or Wisconsin, there was no statute on the books to cover that, so they convened the court, arraigned the court in common law. And so a lot of people after that were starting to demand a bill of particulars to know both the nature and the cause. In Kentucky, we have that built in or enshrined into the Constitution, and it's not supposed to be something they can change. You know, there's certain precepts or concepts with legitimate government in this country that were outside the scope of the government to alter, and that's built into the Kentucky Constitutions, that the duped masses could not be brainwashed into voting stuff like that away. So when you go into court, you have the right to demand both the nature and the cause, which are not synonyms in the law. And so a lot of people are demanding to know how the court is arraigned and what fashion or jurisdiction, you know, stuff like that. And they deny that. They just simply restate the statute that you're charged with and things like that. But you said something a few minutes ago that I've either forgotten or didn't factor in, that Clinton had introduced federalism in 1998.
99.
And 99. Well, U.S. versus Lopez came out, I think, in 1995, and there's some academic papers out there puzzling over that, saying that it should have, you know, had major effects on curbing the abuse of the Commerce Clause, where the federal government is coloring outside the lines on a lot of their, you know, exclusive jurisdictional areas, and we've had some state representatives trying to track that down on occasion. When land use restrictions come in, when they overlay these biospheres and core reserve areas and things like that, and people buy a piece of property, and all of a sudden they find out, oh, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, and it's not the local zoning laws. It becomes restrictions based on them being in a watershed for a UN biosphere or something. That's a conservative Democrat, Perry Clark, that started looking into that, and he couldn't find any state permission where they had granted federal government to buy some of these lands in Kentucky that are designated as national forests. There's a difference between them and the parks. But anyway, U.S. versus Lopez may not be being applied to the federal jurisdiction, I think, because of this Clinton federalism you're talking about. What was that? I've got to look that up.
Executive Order 13132. And basically, you can read it. It starts out like most of this stuff, saying, oh, the states have the rights to do this, and we're honoring and recognizing the states. But then you get down to the section where the people of the states are free to define their moral, political, and legal characters. Well, you sit back and you say, what the heck gave Bill Clinton the right to declare that I'm free to define my political, moral, and legal characters? And then you start to say something else is going on. And that's exactly what's going on. Right now, these states are entering into agreements and contracts. They always have been, but even more so now, with the federal corporation and its agency network. That's how we got Common Core in my state. It wasn't the legislators who necessarily voted for it. It was a contractual agreement between the governor, Strickland. He had one other party to the agreement, and that was, I guess, the state director of education. they needed two signatures on that contract to accept the money and all of the problems that came with it for Common Core. Okay? So this is the governor deciding he's going to take the money. This is all contractual, all in commerce. And if you look at federalism and you start reading it from the bottom and the end and go back, in it he pretty much states that these kind of agreements will supersede what the state legislatures choose to do. They can supersede.
I was just going to say that local school districts in a county or whatever, or independent or city, they have, you know, they're supposed to be semi-autonomous, you know, unless there's some, you know, statute that kicks in that's saying they're being fiscally irresponsible or they're, the results of their education is inadequate, you know, like they're graduating people that can't read.
Oh, no. Almost all the states, I think 48, I'd have to go back. Almost all the states, the governor signed these agreements and they moved Common Core into, when your governor signs on to Common Core, it goes into every school, every public school, and almost all private schools who get any money, affects everything. The school boards at that point can no longer determine curricula. This is like the best kept secret. You really have to research Common Core. And the guy who I think did the best job of explaining it is a guy by the name of Duke Pesta, P-E-S-T-A. And you can do a YouTube search. I think it said brilliant educator or something, or just do YouTube Duke Pesta, and you will see he explains how the whole thing went down.
Completely ignoring U.S. versus Lopez, because that actually has to do with schools. I'm sure you're probably familiar with it, where this guy gets prosecuted because of a federal law for having a gun within 1,000 feet of a school. And the law stood on, or this, whatever the statute was in the federal level, stood on the idea that it would affect interstate commerce. It's not. That's how this, some lawyers, I guess, were successful in avoiding all the off ramps. And like I was getting at, every now and then they have these cases that makes it look to the law professors and a bunch of the duped lawyers that the Constitution is still in force. And so they struck down the law saying that it was an abuse of the Commerce Clause and it was not an interstate commerce. And so Lopez was let out of jail. But then the states went right behind that and started passing their own laws that said, no, you can't have a gun within 1,000 feet of school.
There you go.
But the thing is that, you know, all this federal funny money coming down from the federal government, it's imposing interstate commerce on
it. And that's where we've got Homeland Security. We've got all our cops now looking like SWAT teams. That was federal money that came into your county. And once they took the money, they got the equipment.
Well, it seems like you could, there ought to be a way to declare some of these things unconscionable. Like you said earlier, odious debt. In order for something to be odious debt, it means that it was imposed under fraud, and so the debt becomes illegitimate. The debt becomes illegitimate, and it's no people are obligated to pay odious debt that their government goes into.
Now. I would agree, and I put an article up on my website about odious debt. I absolutely did. However, then I realized after I put that up that they're not going to call it odious debt because of the way they've got the system so rigged. They're going to say, but you agreed this is your signature. Somebody agreed here's his signature. In other words, that's how they're doing it. They're doing it signature by signature by signature, and they're overcoming statutes all the time. I had a mortgage. And they wanted me on the first page of the mortgage. We canceled the mortgage, but it asked us to assign all property rights to the lender. And nowhere in the mortgage did it say we would get them back if we paid off the property. I asked around, and I was told, well, there's a state statute that will absolutely enforce that you get your property rights back once you pay off the note. And when I asked specifically, which is superior, the state statute or the contract with my signature on, guess what the answer was?
The contract. And that's in the Constitution. I think that's how they are abusing that as well, in addition to the Commerce Clause, that there shall be no law impairing the obligation of contracts. I believe that's in the Constitution, yeah. Is it not?
So I apparently, in their world, if I signed that and taken those keys to that house, I would have been giving them the house right there at the closing.
Well, and the Supreme Court's ruled this. There was a car dealer in Arizona, I think it was, who was doing what's called yo-yoing, and he would take people's cars on trade-ins and, you know, give them like $1,000 or some token amount toward the down payment on the car, and then maybe another $1,000, and then in a month call them back and say, well, we ran your credit, and you cannot, we can't get the banks to loan you the money, so we need another $4,000 in order to give you this car.
I'm going to have to cut you off. Thank you for calling in. We're going to break. And please stay tuned and listen to our imaging prayer. We can create the world that we want, but we have to put some thought and heart into it. Be back next week.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. I'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes
as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called Shout to the Lord. And image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.